How's it going, everyone? You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. And today, to chat about the round one preview, we've got the whole squad here. How is it going specifically, Liam?
Very good, specifically, Mel. Outside of having battled the flu all weekend, it's good to actually see a bit of AFLW football for the first time this season. Get to enjoy the spoils of Claudia Whitford and then not think about Ash Richards.
Fantastic. That's what we want to hear. I mean, yeah, it was a good game. I was quite hesitant about the Marvel vibe. Did not really like the fact that I was stuck up on level 3 and couldn't see that well, and there was lots of empty gaps, but it was overall a really good game. Did anyone else watch it?
I watched it. I didn't go.
Yeah, no, I definitely watched it. I did wish I was there. I love a level 3 view. It's probably my favourite view. So we should have been swapping places, Mel.
Yeah, I would have loved to have been there, but alas, was not. So we'll have to wait for Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday will be good. To me, that's like the real... That'll be like the community opening game, where it's a bit more atmosphere, a bit more going on. But no, very excited that AFLW has started. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we dive into the episode, should we jump into just our first thoughts of the St Kilda Carlton game and what fantasy relevance it may have?
Yes. Well, I mean, we can't really go past Whitford, right? That was a very impressive performance. Really great to be able to see her in that CBA role, making the huge impact like we hoped we would see from her. Yeah, what are you guys' other key takeaways?
I think with Whitford, super. I was very, very happy to see Claudia Whitford go in that centre after not seeing a huge amount of it in the practice game. I don't have Claudia Whitford, so I'm very unhappy about that. The one little flag is that Keely Shearer wasn't playing, so it'll be interesting to see how that role changes when they get back. But overall, I think coaches who did stick with Claudia Whitford can be very, very happy.
The big concern will be the time on ground once Shearer comes back, but we haven't got an injury report on that quad injury for Keely, so I'm hopeful that the extra bit of time for Whitford to get a good CBA role and just spend a bit of extra time on the bench, she will increase her time on ground as her fitness improves.
Yeah, that second quarter in particular was killing me. I was going, this is like such an incredible start to the first quarter, 35 points, and then from that point forward, just nothing, because she was on the bench for half the second quarter, if not more. I was also a really big fan of Serene Watson's game. I thought they've absolutely picked off exactly where they left off last year. And that's very exciting to see for anyone who started with Serene.
Yeah, I was so close to starting with Serene Watson. I changed it at the last minute to save a little bit of money to fix up a couple of holes elsewhere. And I think with Watson, I knew it wasn't going to be value necessarily. Very good scoring. We know that she's probably going to score somewhere between a 70 and a 90 most weeks. But yeah, if you did start with Serene Watson, I think you can be pretty happy. That's a set and forget that you're not going to have to worry about.
Definitely think she was helped by the conditions as well. Having it be wind-free meant that she got into some better spots at wider ground than many AFLW grounds, and she was getting a lot of points, if not taking the kick in, getting hit up by Jamie Lambert in the pocket. Really boosted her score. I still think we're going to be a little bit frustrated watching the St Kilda game style this year. It's not a very high possession game style outside of a little bit in the third quarter, which is comfortably the best quarter of the game. And then my personal frustration is I started Ash Richards. I'd ummed and ahed about my F2 for a very long time. I went with Whit Richards, someone who I'd been hot on for a long time. Unfortunately, Nick Del Santo and I don't see eye to eye on whether or not her best position should be as an inside midfielder, even though she scored excellently when she was there. When she went forward, she barely touched the ball. Barely anyone from St Kilda's forward line touched the ball, and then did have, I'm going to guess it's some kind of cork or mild cramp that meant that she was injured for much of the fourth quarter. So an only scoring of 54 is disappointing. She started last season also with a 54. I'm hoping that the 90s that she scored towards the back end of last year kind of start next week or in 2 weeks' time.
Yes, another player that I was keeping my eyes out on was number 14, Shifra for Carlton. I think she was 6% owned or so, but she was my first rookie on the bench, and she did pretty good. So, you know, not the highest scoring rookie, but I'm glad to see that her and Abby Hobson for a 39 were some decent rookie scores to start the round.
I mean, we got the inside word on Shifra from Ash Reedy, so pretty we happy did. There.
Yeah, overall, it was a good game. And looking forward to the one at Icon Park, that's for sure.
Mm. We're also seeing the return of Abby Mackay to a fantasy-relevant name. And I'm not jumping on board just yet, but if it happens again in round two, I'm going to be insufferable. So just fair warning.
I'm going to put it out this way. I will not be shocked if Matthew Buck is less than impressed than the centre bounce work. I'm going to expect to see some changes from the centre bounce team at Carlton. It could affect Abby Mackay, and it could impact Claudia Whitford as well. They got smashed at centre clearance. It's the only reason St Kilda kicked any goals, really.
I'm not going to argue with that at all. Yeah, yeah.
Checks out. So, on to our round one preview information. Got a few housekeeping things that we're going to go through. Some of the important areas to be keeping in mind for the rest of your starting team before the lockout. So, first up, we've got injury news. The Dr. Free Kick article went out earlier this week, which hopefully everyone has subscribed to our Substack to get the full details there. But a quick summary, there's a couple of highly owned players that aren't going to be playing, that if you've got them in your side, definitely make sure they are out before the rest of round one. Ash Centra, 25% owned, that's a bit concerning. A couple of rookies, we've got Lucy Way from Adelaide, still 25% owned, and Holly Egan, as she's a test though, for Fremantle, 12% owned. And then Charlie Rowbottom, 9% owned still. Definitely a lot of money that you don't want to be locked up in a non-playing player.
They all were players, though, that had tests or concussions. Mm. So Rowbottom and Centra, the two highest scorers, were both concussions TBC. Typically, the return timetable for a concussion is 2 weeks. You would hope that if both are on a standard trajectory, they will be able to play in round one, but it will be a watch for the release of the Tuesday injury reports to see if they're healthy.
Yes, definitely want to be making sure of that before the season starts. The other thing, we've got kind of five teams that have pretty big injury lists, and that kind of opens up some fantasy potential from a few other players. Firstly, Collingwood's. Collingwood's backline injuries, Jordan Allen and Lauren Butler, both out for 1 to 2 and 3 to 4 weeks respectively. That makes Violet Patterson and Charlotte Brewer as two cheap defenders pretty good options, getting 65 and 84 in the practice game. So quite attractive scoring potential there, more so even from the backline injuries.
Another player that is injured is Bree Davey with a foot injury. Was a very common mid-price midfielder, foot injury TBC, so that's one that you're probably going to have to swap out. And just on the back line of Collingwood, there's also Kalinda Howarth, who is a forward but has been playing back. So they've basically lost pretty much the full orchestra back there and are starting all the rookies. So Charlotte Brewer and Violet Patterson look like pretty decent options down there for cheap money.
Well, if we're going to be horticulturists, look for the green shoots here. Surely a big-bodied midfielder missing and then a bunch of defenders. What does that do for Lucy Cronin? 100% midfield time in the practice match, but she is predominantly a defender. But there is still going to be time available in the midfield. My guess is it's a 50-50 split. It's not going to be that full 100%. But I think the fact that Bree Davey is also out gives me just enough to not go back to the other side and say, I still worry that all of these defenders are out. She'll probably spend more time in defence.
I mean, this is probably like second or third order effects here, but now it makes me excited in Ailey Ronalds as an option. Pretty underpriced given what she could be able to play full-time midfield minutes.
Because the other question there, I know we're harping on about Collingwood, but is Ruby Slicer another option to go through that midfield? We know has been playing a bit of half forward, has traditionally been a defender. Collingwood's such a strange one with the shifting of how it's going to go. So it's going to be a really fascinating one. And I think there's going to be points there. It's just going to be a matter of who and where those points go to.
The other team that is dealing with quite a few injuries and makes for fantasy relevancy, but probably disastrous scoring in round one, which is devastating, is Fremantle. Backline injuries, we've got Maddie Scanlon out with foot TBC, and Emma O'Driscoll 2 to 3 weeks with the glute, who was also absent in the Pracky game. That is a pretty bad blow to the backline, although it makes me wonder if Aoife Healy, who put up 200k in the Pracky, who's 200k and put up 41 in the Pracky game, in the absence of Emma O'Driscoll, could be a nice pick. Also, Sarah Verrier, you know, fantastic option there. 71 in the Pracky game, stepping up to that role. And then also Ash Brazel. I mean, a bit more of a rogue player, but 60 in the Pracky game in the absence and looked pretty good, I would say.
I dare you to say to Ash Brazel's face that she's a rogue player. Because as we heard with our interview with Emma O'Driscoll, sorry, not Emma O'Driscoll, Gabby O'Sullivan, it's not the type of thing that you say to Ash Brazel.
Well, good thing she's not here.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. but that's not all for Fremantle. Also, fantasy options in the forward line, because Zanka, who is devastatingly TBC with a foot injury, which we really don't need, and then Georgie Brisbane 3 to 4 week with a hand. That makes me cautious that Mim Strom might be playing more forward time like we saw in the Pracky game, which is not probably what we want from the highest averaging ruck in the competition.
Yeah, and it also goes against what you'd standard think, which is that players like Tanisha Kikowak would stay in that forward line, but maybe they do need to share that load around with a few not traditional forwards. I think it means that players like Hayley Miller probably end up spending more time forward, so makes them a bit less attractive an option as well. Yeah, Frio, for me, looking a bit iffy for a lot of the options.
Does it increase the relevancy of a Bella Smith?
With ruck potential?
322k, bit of a ruck forward, DPP, could probably score some 50s DPP. And 60s early whilst these injuries are there. No, not actually DPP, unfortunately. That would be lovely if she did. And would be the perfect type of player to have it. But no, I think that she kind of jumps in relevancy.
Yeah,
and we saw that in the Pracky game in the write-up as well, because it was a similar situation in terms of absences from that game. So I think it would be fairly well to expect kind of the scores we saw from the Pracky game. Moving on to Gold Coast, with Rowbottom as a test and Brand Catasano with an ankle for 4 to 6 weeks out, that gives more of an opportunity to the herd of rookies that we expect to be running through there. We saw a lot from Sunny Lappin in the Pracky game, not so much from Ava Rusher, but this could increase her time, especially if Rowbottom is still out, and Anne Hatchard even. But I think the key takeaway from Gold Coast is the cheap ruck. Darcy Davis missed the Pracky game and will continue to not play for 1 to 2 weeks for a hamstring, which saw Paige Price as that main ruck for 200k. Fantastic cheap ruck option there. If there's no comments from Gold Coast, we've got Melbourne with 10 injuries, which is, oof, harsh. In the back line, Maeve Chaplin out 3 to 4 weeks with a foot injury. Sinead Goldrick with a test for the knee, and Sarade Taylor calf 3 to 4 weeks is just a lot of damage in one line. Making me think that Molly O'Hare, I mean, we kind of discussed this on the spaces already, Liam, but Molly O'Hare, she's only 11% owned and she's the highest owned defender at Melbourne by a long shot, the next being Talia Gillard. Talia Gillard? Yes. At 2%. So that makes her potentially at, you know, O'Hare at 76K, 376K, potentially more attractive. The other options at Melbourne with the rucks, Lauren Pierce missing, makes Jacinta Hose a nice cheap option, but given she's going up against Lucy Wales, maybe not. maybe Paige Price is a bit more attractive. And then in the forwards, got Georgia Gall out for concussion. Maybe some more opportunity for Mia Austin, who put up 96 in the Pracky game, so fantastic options around here. And then the last one I want to mention is Richmond, Ellie McKenzie with the broken hand, and Dana East out 1 to 2 weeks with the ankle, makes Sierra Greaves look even more attractive as an option through the midfield, mid forward at 563k. And then also Amelia Yassir, 325k, even more rogue option, did see her through the middle in the Pracky game. So got some good cheap players that could benefit from all of these unfortunate injuries. Any additional ones you want to shout out, guys?
I just want to say I really like the Sierra Greaves pick now, I think, with how those injuries to the Richmond midfield have unfolded, I think it's a great chance for her to prove herself. And it's kind of now or never, really. There's a great opportunity there. So that's one that's quite interesting to me.
Yeah, I really agree there. And then on the Ds as well, and they're not listed as defenders, but I think having all those defender injuries probably means that players like Jordan Allen and also Lauren Clifton are more likely to get a game early if people are looking for a bit of mid-depth on their bench lines.
Great. Well, you can read even more from the other clubs as well that we haven't mentioned in the Dr. Free Kick article. But that's all for injuries for now. Let's go on to some unique options. And who better to talk us through the unique options than Mrs. Unique herself, Willow?
That's Dr. Unique to you.
apologies.
Yeah, unique options. I love unique options. I think most people know that by now. Basically, I've gone for some players that, well, I'd be circumspect to say that I'm definitely considering them. These are players that are less than 1% owned that may give you pause for thought as to why you haven't considered them at all. One from each line. So we'll start in the back line. And this is one that I think Jono will love because it's one Jono's been very keen on. And that's Laura Elliott from the Hawks. Priced at only 372K, 0.68% owned. And the one that we always harp on about for defenders is taking kickouts. Only scored a 38 in the Pracky game, but there were only 4 kickouts to be had in total in that game, with Sydney only scoring 5 goals for. So I think that's a more expensive, cheap player, if that makes sense, and one that could really benefit from getting those extra points in that back line. And we've talked a bit about the Hawks in the past about how there will be some changes in that back line. So Laura Elliott is quite an interesting one for you to consider, Jono.
Yeah, I also think you've got to look at the Hawks fixture as well. And starting with a team like Melbourne, I would expect there to be a lot more than 4 behinds kicked against us. So I think she's going to get a better start for sure.
Absolutely. The midfield was an interesting one. There's a lot of players that are good players, but not really going to provide a huge amount of value necessarily that for under 1%, which is probably why they're under 1% owned. One they did consider was Shelley Heath from Melbourne because of the reasons we talked about before with the injuries in the back line, so it could be a distributor. But the one I've gone with is one that have also talked up quite a bit on the podcast, and that's Sarah Pusty from the Western Bulldogs, 0.88% and 538K. And the reason I've gone for her over a few other picks is that there is value to be had there. A second-year breakout candidate in a midfield that is quite open to new faces. We know that Ellie Blackburn has been spending a bit more time across half-forward, for example. I think the only worry at the Dogs is the addition of Michaela Cann into that midfield. But Michaela Cann is only in 0.58% of teams. So there's another unique pick if you want it, though is considerably more expensive at 706K.
Yeah, I do like the Sarah Pausty pick. I was just going to say, although none of these players so far are in my side.
No, none of these anyone are going to be in my side either. So I'm going to move on to another one. The Rucks was a really difficult one because at this stage, basically you're picking one of the big premiums and probably George Davies. One to consider is Piper Dunlop, 0.7% owned, 365K. Not cheap, but if you are going for a real rookie Ruck strat, one to consider, should get first crack at the ruck spot down at Geelong and looked pretty good in the preseason from pretty limited game time. So one I think could really improve. And I'm going to go straight to the forward line now. And one we've talked about a bit, which is Montana Berrelson at Richmond. 0.45% owned, so the lowest owned of these players. 321K and scored a pretty handy 53 in the Precky game thanks to a move to half back. We talked her up a bit and still very lowly owned, I think probably on the basis that there are a lot of really handy rookie options up forward, but it's one that I would definitely consider. Probably the one I'd consider the most out of this lot.
Yeah, she's a bit more of a known and she's only just above rookie price, so I do see that as a attractive option. I mean, speaking of unique pods, who have you got that is less than, say, 1.5% owned, if anyone? Or who's your lowest owned player?
Well,
currently in your side, knowing that teams are not out yet.
Well, currently, I've got a couple of lowly owned rookies that are probably going to go. So I'm going to go for the one that will be in my side come the start, who is only 2.37% owned, which is a defender. And that's Becky Webster from Geelong. Averaged only 53 last year, and I think is going to be a major distributor for the Cats. So I'm quite keen on that one.
Nice. Jono, who have you got?
I don't really have too many players that are lowly owned. If you want to look at my team in full, it's actually just out on the AFL website right now. But my last two players are Abby Dowrick at 6.13% ownership and Amelia Yasir at 6.34. So I wouldn't say too unique generally.
I've got Millsy Yasir at the moment too. And the one player that I'm not confident she'll stay there, but she's at 1% and she's already been named in this episode. Can anyone guess?
Piper Dunlop.
Ayley Runnels.
Ayley Runnels.
There we go.
Is that from the flow-on effects of the flow-on effects of Collingwood?
Bingo.
Very nice.
The flow-on effects of the flow-on effects of the flow-on effects. Yep.
Very good. I have currently a very mid-price madness side that's probably going to need some revisiting because I don't know what I'm doing. But I've currently got, obviously, Sarah Verrier, 1.5%. Should have been higher, I would say. And on rogue moves, actually, Gabby Seymour has been in my side for a little while, 0.9%. I think that she has good opportunity to be impactful around the ground with a new role potentially this season as well. And Paxi Paxman has made a brief appearance at 1.3%.
Ooh, interesting.
Because Paxi's back, guys, in case you didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm not – it's also – these are very much price and opportunity and potentially a bit of pracky game, hoping that it stays based on injuries. So we'll see if they remain. But right now we've got a very lowly owned team, so either I'm going to – be alone at the top or alone at the bottom.
Love it.
And then I guess the next most important thing to talk about, rookies, most important rookies to select.
Yeah, I think there's a few players that I think are pretty important to start with this year, and none more so than Lauren Young, who is 389K and currently in 38% of teams. But this is the breakout we've been pitching for, you know, years now. And it looks like the role in the Port Adelaide practice match was fantastic. The game plan that they're running with is really going to help bump up the points. So I'm pretty excited by what Lauren Young can do this year. I'd say he's probably the most important rookie to have on this list. Next up, there's a couple of midfield rookies that I want to talk about, and that's Sunny Lappin at the Gold Coast for 285K and Chloe Bone for 280K at the Adelaide Crows. Their ownership is pretty high, in the high 50%, but yeah, absolutely have great roles, great opportunities this year, and have proven scorers in the junior league. So very excited there. I've definitely mispronounced Chloe's last name. It's Bown. It's Bown. And we spent the whole time before this episode with Michaela you guys trying Bowen. To explain to me to do Michaela Bowen's name, and I've just popped them. I keep confusing them. I've got to stop. Anyway, those two midfield rookies are going to be very, very important, and I would recommend starting both of them. In defense, I think the most important rookie you can find is Zoe Wakfa, who's priced at 280K and looks to be taking a big step in the offseason. We saw what Lauren Wakfa did up forward last year, and I think Zoe Wakfa is going to take a similar step as an intercepting defender this year, particularly if Charlie Thomas ends up moving into the midfield. And I think in a line where there's not really a lot of reliable players we're going to say definitely have the role all season and, you know, can push their scoring as much as I'm hoping Zoe Wakfa can. So I'll definitely look at that. And then lastly, I was going back and forth on who the fifth would be, but I think Georgia Davis is really, really tempting me as a rock option. It's a little bit more than the 200K. It's up to 260 if you want to bring her into the team. But, geez, I just think her role of halfback in a high mark team like the Gold Coast projected to be, I think she could be one of the best scoring defensive rookies this year.
How many of those do you own?
I currently own all five of them.
Love it.
Would hope so, given I'm pitching them.
Yes. I think I have all but Sonny Lappin.
There you go.
You guys?
I have all of them. I have both Lappin and Chloe Bowne on field.
Oh, very nice. So we've done injuries, we've done unique options, we've done rookies. It's got to be Liam for the captain's corner. And honestly,
yes,
this list could be last year's list, to be honest.
This list could be last year's list. And it is just going to be a question of order. I think Ebony Marinoff is the number one candidate. Just put the straight C on her. Then the question will be, where do you go with your VC if you're not picking Marinoff? Or if you're picking Marinoff or otherwise, I think Jazz Garner playing at Marvel, she's going to hit up for so many marks. I think Ash Riddell too. Ash Riddell has typically had someone run with her against Geelong, albeit with a different coach. Fascinating to see if that goes again. That's how I've split those two. And then 4 and 5, it's kind of hard to split. I think Laura Gardner is the fourth option of the big four. Kiara Bowers at 5. I wouldn't be shocked if Bowers starts with a big score against a team that, yes, we expect Port Adelaide to be have slightly fewer stoppages this year than they did last year, but I still think they will revert to type early in the season.
This is a question I'm pretty sure I know the answer to, but is there any scenario that you would take a VC score going into the first round? What are you looking for?
No.
There we go. Good. I just want people to rule that out, even if you get a 150 from Garner.
With so few trades now, I just can't see it being worthwhile to pick a red dot. Unless, and I will absolutely put information out there, we see a rookie that we see with only like a 1-2 week timeline to return from injury and then they will play immediately. I hate, with the 29 and 33 ratio now, I hate the idea of picking a red dot. I can't see it working out for us.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, that means we're up to drafting a team. How exciting. To start off with, though, we need a team name. So we will be putting the poll out to the people to choose from our options. So last year's Installerine, and we were just reflecting, I don't know if we can actually get a better name than Installerine. That is genuinely hilarious. Oh, yep, okay. But we've got some other options going. Sorry, I thought the recording cut off. We've got some other options going. I'm going to throw in there, and this is for mine and Jono's benefit, I'm going to go Bowne or Bowen. And that will make us remember it is Bowne, not Bone.
It's actually pronounced Bone, not Bowne.
Yeah, exactly.
Bone, yeah,
exactly,
or Bowen.
Exactly.
So that's my recommendation. What else have we got?
I actually can I propose a slight change to yours, which is Bowers, Bowne or Bowen, or some combination of three. So it's the AFLW fantasy version of like odd.
Are you just doing this so that I add in another name to start mispronouncing? Because I've been getting Bowers right for a year, and now I'm going to start calling her Bowers just because I get confused. Yeah. Oh no.
You are correct, Jono. I'm tormenting you.
I like it. I'm always keen for more Bowers. So Bowers, Bowne or Bowen? Oh, I really have to.
I think it should be Bowne, Bowen or Bowers.
No, this is already falling apart. I'm gonna go with a completely different, but surprisingly similar theme actually. Liam is in charge of our free kick account and having to run the team, and his team specifically Liam should be paired with not specifically Liam, just so he can tell the two apart.
What about specifically not Liam?
Specifically not Liam also works.
Generally Liam, but specifically not specifically Liam. Nice.
Okay, so gone for the confusion is the theme. Willow?
I've just gone for a classic, which is Results May Vary. And based on the way these team names have been, apparently our team name may vary as well. So we'll see how that goes.
I think that's a good call.
I've tried to pick some ones also from this episode. I liked... instead of Georgia Gould, we'll call our Josh team Jar Jar. That was a great one from Mel. Jar Jar Jar. I like the idea of just calling it Flow on Effects times 3. But I actually think Willow's misstep earlier, which is First Croc at the Rack Spot.
First Croc.
Is a team name I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, you know, we did let that slip by and we should
First
not
Croc
have,
at the Rack
so
Spot.
True.
Great. Well, we've got some good options. We'll put those forward for a poll. Please vote and tell us what our communal team shall be, which we're going to make right now. So we did a little spinner thing. The order will be Jono, Mel, Willow, Liam. One veto each. The veto counts as your turn. So we'll just go straight order. We've already drafted 5 players so that there are 24 left and we can do 6 each. So we've got Marinoff. Who else have we got, Jono?
We also have Sunny Lappin, Chloe Bown.
Yep.
Nice. There we go. There we go. Yeah. Confidence. Lily Quigley and Lauren Young.
Oh, you didn't have to read them all. I just wanted you to do Bound, but thank you. Good. Okay, and you are up first with your next pick.
Wonderful. I'm always excited to get the number one pick, and as a result, I'm going to ignore. I was going to impose a rule on myself not to spend too much money early, but with the number one pick comes the responsibility to pick the number one player, and that's going to be Jazz Garner.
Spending a lot of money.
We're spending a lot of money, but I think she is worth every dime.
Yep.
Yep, no qualms there.
No arguments here.
I'm also going to spend a lot of money and go for what I hope to be our team name and go with Michaela Bowen.
Not Kiara Bowers?
Mm.
No, we've spent enough money in the midfield already. Look at those two. And we'll put her forward, please. Yes, thank you.
All right.
I got to say, the temptation to follow that up by saying, well, I want to follow up with my team name, but I know that Liam will use his veto immediately if I go with Sarah Varia. But I am going to go for a defender and one that I think is a very simple pick in that back line, which is Maddie Gay.
Nice.
I like it.
I'll save Sarah Varia for later once Liam's used his veto.
Strategic.
Let me put in our favourite forward prospect for the year, Tia Charlton.
Yeah, love it. Love it. And I also love that you're popping them preemptively in F3, making some predictions here.
I'm just doing it with a bit of urgency. Let's get this
absolutely,
thing on.
Absolutely. I'm gonna throw back to those rookies that we talked about earlier. I'm a big fan of Zoe Wackfer. I'd love her first spot on the bench.
Nice. I am going to follow that up with Havana Harris in, would she be F2? I can't see T. Charlton's price.
Yes.
I think she would, yeah.
Perfect. That's the slot she we left be. It out for.
Sorry, who was it? Who was it the pick before T. Charlton?
Zoe Wackfer.
Zoe Wackfer.
Zoe Wackfer. All right.
On the bench, please. I'm a big fan of Zoe Wackfer, but that is a variable role if I've ever seen one. The key defender one. So
15 intercepts. 15 intercepts is not consistent.
Not consistent.
We move to Willow.
Yeah, well, apparently we've got a lot of spots in that midfield still to fill, and I'm going to fill with one of our all-time favourites, which is Elise Piggy Parker. Get her in there.
Yeah, yes, great pick.
Nice and discounted.
Her low ownership still surprises me so much.
Mm. Well, it's at this point that I would be picking Claudia Whitford, if I could. I proposed it to the Discord between the four of us on the weekend, and it was shot down, so we can't. So I am going to go with Ella Roberts.
Ooh, I like it. Field.
Mm. That way you can't say she's not getting enough attention or appreciation or whatever else you complain about.
Yeah, she was disrespected.
Yes, that was it.
I think that brings it back to
it
me.
It sure does.
It does.
Great. I'm going to take Georgia Davies for the bench in the ruck.
I was going to go with a bit of a motorist ruck myself and go with Matilda Schultz, who is currently 56% owned, so she can go R1. I think given the Mimstrom situation and not enough strong backing for Lucy Wales, I think Matilda Schultz becomes the clear R1 option in my mind.
Yeah. No, that's fair. I'm proud of you for picking an R1. And that's honestly a lot of my logic of getting on the R2 early. It was just to avoid that disaster.
I was going to go with R2 and then you took it and I was like,
the temptation now to use my veto to remove Matilda Schultz just to so that Mel can't have an R1 is very tempting.
I still have my veto, man.
But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go to the back line again and put in Molly O'Hare, a very, very nice D6.
Yeah, I love it.
I am also going to go to the back line, and I'm going to go with one Charlotte Thomas.
We've got three West Coast players.
And there's going to be more.
All right. Now we're starting to actually fill up the team, you know. There's starting to get to the limited spots left. I'm going to jump back into the forward line, and I think this is a hotly contested spots remaining, but I want to see if I can throw Elaine Grigg in the forward line.
I love that.
I want to see if that cops a veto.
Absolutely not.
I'm excited for the mid-clock and what we might see this season.
Me too. And those sideways tackles, I can't get enough. Okay. What have we got left? I'm going to challenge a veto, or threaten a veto.
Ooh.
By putting Paxi in the midfield, because they might not stay on my team. Therefore, they should stay on this one.
This is good to know. And just to clarify the rules here, are we supposed to veto immediately now?
In your round.
Or am I supposed to wait until my round? This is good to know. This is good to know.
Yep.
I'll see if the veto lasts until my
turn. I actually kind of love this, and I'm gonna follow on from Mal, and I'm going to make some midfield mischief. I'm going to chuck in Belle Dawes.
Willow. Love it.
Who is currently in my team, by the way.
This is not insane. I'm going to put it out here. I have each of the last three picks, I'm like, I want to veto that one. This one, not at all. I see the vision.
Belle Dawes is currently in my team, for the record. Second lowest owned player after Becky Webster at just 2.6% owned.
I want to veto so badly, but I also want to pick some of my own options. Well, I'm gonna hope that some other people decide they're gonna veto, because I'm gonna pick Lucy Cronin in defence.
Interesting,
interesting indeed.
Mel, you're up.
No, thankfully not just yet, because I will be spending my turn vetoing Paxi Paxman.
Oh.
I love Paxman, but I'm a big fan. You. I loved what they did in the practice game, but they did that on the wing. Oh, I'm not sure that they're going to hold that up for the whole season. And given our pensions to remember to trade players out, you know, I just think we should be safe and get someone who's got the longevity.
Fair.
You then pick someone in their place. You don't just veto.
Well, I was suggesting you just veto and then you have to sit on that and wait.
No. You pick and then replace.
Pick and replace. Do I have to pick specifically in that position? No.
Specifically?
No. You do not.
Wonderful. In that case, I'm going to go back to my love of picking these rookies, and I'm going to jump on Ella Slocum in the forward bench. We're going to take a winger still, but we're going to take a much cheaper one. It's basically my thoughts.
We've got to get more West Coast in there. That's what we said.
Exactly. This is a West Coast team.
There's still more to pick.
Well, I think...
Veto Jono right back, Mel.
We don't have enough.
Do it.
No. Oh, wait. I don't think we have enough Port Adelaide. We've only got two players.
That's so true.
So I'm going to put in Abby Dowrick, please. Ooh.
Go on, Spenny.
We are spending in the midfield.
I haven't paid any attention to our budget. That comes later.
I love it. Wow, okay.
All righty, wow, it's righto. Up to me. Righto. I am vetoing Elaine Grigg. Oh, sorry, Willow.
In that case, I'm actually going to do something a bit left field, because I want our team to be a bit different. And I am going to veto Matilda Schultz.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
For the record, I think Matilda Schultz is a great, great pick, but I want to try something different for this one, and I want to see what we can come up with as our next ruck, because I'm not going to go for next ruck, and instead I'm going to go to the back line, and I'm going to pick another Port Adelaide player in Ella Heads.
Fair enough. Yeah, you see, Liam, this is why you can't veto too early, because you never know what's coming.
Well, I'm vetoing this.
I thought I might have talked you out of
vetoing Elaine Grigg.
Oh, Charlie Mullins.
And I'm
what
picking Charlie Mullins.
What a pick.
Yeah, hard to complain about
Charlie Mullins. I'd also like to really say let's leave the R1 for Mel still. Because I want Mel to have to pick the R1, but not the obvious one.
I'm going to delay on that, because I've still got cards up my sleeve. And I'm... So who's used the veto?
Whoa, it's still my turn.
Sorry.
Let's
and
hold
my card
the phone.
Is Jono's turn. Sorry, Jono. Who's still got the
just
veto?
Just you.
That would be... Yeah, just you.
Delightful.
I think I'm going to jump on a Richmond player we talked about a little bit earlier in Sierra Greaves to fill out the last spot in the forward line.
Great. Well, you know what is just absolutely waiting for me is D5 Sarah Verrier.
Yes. No veto.
No one can do anything about it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I really wanted to veto
this pick, Mel, because you've actually just stolen my pick. Very disappointingly.
I apologize.
It's like we have a bingo card to fill every year, and Sarah Verry is the center square.
Yeah. this
is how these preseasons
you
run.
You've got to chuck it out there. I think I'm gonna go with the Collingwood flavor that we were talking before in that midfield, and I'm gonna take Ailey Runnels.
Jeez, we're gonna run out of cash, people.
We sure are.
I want to be clear, I'm the only one to have picked a rookie so far. So
that's not true. I picked Molly O'Hare.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's fair. Under 400K.
No.
Under 400K.
No, that's not a rookie.
It is compared to the rest of our team, let's be honest.
Yeah, geez, guys, we're in strife here. I'm going to pick Charlotte Brewer as our D8. 200K.
Lovely. Yep. We got three players left and a little over 1.6 million to go. And we know how much that ruck is going to cost us. So I'm going to leave that alone for the moment.
Which means, Mel, you must veto. You must veto someone and then make your pick.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good point. I could spend up for someone and make Mel veto up to a certain dollar amount. That'd be fun.
Why would you do that? This is our team.
Who do I want to pick? I think I want Amelia Yasir on the forward bench. I think I'm going back-to-back Richmond players.
Wow.
Which means, Mel, you are unfortunately going to need to veto someone if you want to pick anyone over $1 million.
No, you just need to veto anyone.
Okay, who is out of here? I reckon Ella Roberts.
Oh,
that's some cash to spend.
Brutal. The best part about this is I can now be really, really rude and pick like Laura Gardner to make it even worse for
me. Hang on, but I get to pick now. I get to pick my ruck, no?
You do.
And we're back to having lots of money. I'm going to pick... Pondering. One moment, please.
That's right. While you're pondering,
rookie rucks.
I just find it funny that Mel's from Perth and yet is the most anti-WA person on the podcast. That's fascinating.
Excuse me.
No, it's little, it's just little sibling petty hatred.
I mean, she picked the most important player out of the West in Sarah Verrier, so.
That's true. Exactly. That's true. Just a Fremantle supporter of art.
The ruck situation is tough. I know I could spend up. But I think I'm going to go with...
Spend up. Please spend up. Please spend up. There are two options to spend up on. Please, I beg.
Do we have enough money, though?
We definitely do.
Yes!
Yeah. We can figure it out.
With Ella Roberts out, we've got as much money as you want.
We have 2.4 million for three players.
Okay, well, we're saved from getting Poppy Kelly then, who we won't get.
Thank God.
And we'll go Lucy Wales, please.
Thank you.
Great choice.
I love it.
Great choice.
Oh, I love it.
The relief in your voice is telling.
So I have $1.1 million roughly to spend if I want a midfielder. Because Liam needs at least 200K in order to pay for the final player. And therefore, I am going to go for a big favourite of mine, which is Georgie Prasparkas.
Nice.
Liam was noticeably disappointed with that one.
Okay, we haven't talked about Georgie Prasparkas enough. reports are that she might play a little bit of forward. And I get the sense that Mick Stanier is probably going to look for a Kate Hoare facsimile. And I get the sense that Prasparkas could be that player. She doesn't spell out amazingly for her high scoring.
And yet we're going to give it a bell.
And yet.
This is cruel and unusual. I'm not. I thought for a second I was going to be 1K short of the player I wanted. Okay, I have 381K left. I am going to go with more West Coast. I'm going to go with Keely Skipper.
The Skep.
Beautiful.
Nice. So that means we have 24K remaining. And don't worry, everyone, if it's been a little hard to follow who we've got, where, why, and how, we will share this team on our social media. And hopefully you'll see it for it being a little bit chaotic, but ultimately with some solid picks in there.
Yeah.
Oh, and then Sarah Verrier.
I think we should have a rule heading into the first round, which is whoever picked the player, if we do need to drop someone because of teams being named, you know, unexpected injury, whoever picked that player in the side gets to replace them.
I like Agreed. It. I can see Liam out there now en route to WA to single-handedly injure Sarah Verrier.
No.
Just head over, cough in a general area for a little bit.
Oh, nice. Okay.
All right. Can we talk about some of the players that are highly owned that we haven't picked? And I think it's worthwhile talking about the big two, which is Fish and Gardner. So, there's three highly owned players that are very expensive, that are over 60% owned that we don't have, and they are Zippy Fish, Ash Riddell, and Laura Gardner.
I think we just hate Sydney is the answer for two of those.
Right, well, that's certainly one answer.
If I could start with Laura Gardner, I think there's a lot, I suppose, to worry about there, because we've heard some minor reports of a hip injury, I believe, over the preseason. She's got a new teammate returning, not necessarily a new teammate, but Sophia Hurley, who missed a lot of last season, coming back into that midfield mix. What's that going to do to Gardner, given two of the games that she played last year with Hurley were the only two that she went under 100 all season? And then there's also the new coach, Colin O'Riordan. So I suppose how all of those work together, I don't know, but that worries me from a, you know, most expensive player in the game. Can they back up their scoring? I'm a little hesitant.
Same.
And then for Zippy Fish, also reports of injury in the off season, and then was obviously sporting a lot of tape in the Australian Ireland match. I think I've seen some highlights from her on social media for Sydney. She's looking pretty good, playing a little bit of midfield time. So I'd say that she's probably the most likely in my team, if I was going to force a reshuffle to D1 to try and find the cash, it would be to try and bring in Fish.
Yeah.
Matilda Schultz, we've already discussed. Ella Roberts is at 49%. I think that's insane that we're not picking him. The disrespect is palpable again. Outrageous. Ellie Blackburn at 52%. Are we kind of overcorrecting for the overcorrection? She wasn't very highly owned, then had a massive score in the preseason. Are we then putting that down to just playing GWS and therefore not picking her? Or is it worthwhile to have some questions about what's her mid-forward split this year?
Well, yeah, I think that to me is the big thing, is that the assistant coach and the coach have both come out and said that they're expecting a similar split for Blackburn this season as last season. And it was a great score in the Pracky game, but we know that the Giants aren't the strongest team. I really just think it's going to be same level of scoring as we saw last season. I don't see a lot of upside. So I don't think she'll be a bad pick for anyone, but I'm just not sure. I think in the forward line particularly, where I think there's a lot of great options, it's kind of hard to justify the pick.
Yeah, she was in my side up until like earlier today, but I really want Grigg and I don't want two Bulldogs forwards. So that's the only kind of... And Griggs is more exciting than Blackburn in my mind as well as those concerns about mid-forward. So have cooled.
Bonnie Toogood, someone that if we had a bit more cash, I could see us all probably slotting into our sides to some degree. Wouldn't be shocked if she's got potential this year. Tani White is another D1 option. Now, Dizzy Darcy, another player, 34% owned, could absolutely make her way into my side. Probably is at this stage.
Is currently in mind. Yeah, absolutely. I know the 26 was a little disappointing in the Prakki game, but was from, you know, barely over 40% time on ground. She's easing back in. They were clearly playing the kids. I really think in a full game, a proper game, she'll get a much bigger run. And you've got to have a look at just the Carlton game gone by. You know, Claudia Whitford didn't play more than half in the first practice game and then comes out and put up 100 in the real match. I think that's kind of what I'm hoping from Darcy. I'm happy to back her in.
Fair enough. Now, some of the rookies we didn't pick, but I think we could all see in our things as well. I tossed up between Skepper and Barwon with my last pick. Misha Barwon, probably the only mid-forward 200k'er that will actually be named, but she's certainly not a lock, I think, for that Collingwood lineup. Evie Coucher is at 44%. If we were going to be fielding a rookie defender, I think she is the next best option. We've already laughed about, well, we've already, you know, talked about Jacinta Hose. Ava Usher almost certainly will be starting in that side for the Gold Coast in round one. And then the final one that I think we could all see in our sides is Kira Yerbury at 24% owned at the moment. Another player as well that I've not had out of my side a whole lot, and I suspect that if I were to do this team myself, would be in the D5 in place of Sarah Vera, is Chantelle Edmondson.
I will also add in Nali Brothwell as someone who hasn't got any reason to leave. I think as a forward rookie, she's a good option as well. She's been in my side for a while. But other than that, you've kind of listed all the ones that I have.
Well, there we go. That's a fairly good Misi then. That's a fairly good whip around of the entire competition as you head into round one.
Indeed. And there are lots of things to mention at the end of this episode, which I am not mentally prepared for. What have we got? We've got articles coming out on the AFL website, maybe a couple more before the start of round one. We've got our own articles out on Substack. Please subscribe and have a read. We really appreciate it. What else? We've got a Spaces coming out before the start of round one for any last-minute questions, I believe. Liam, when will that be?
That's a good question. We need to have that discussion about whether or not we can do Thursday or Friday night, depending on who's going to be at the game. But there will be an on-air this week.
It's not too late to join our open league for free kick. So head over to leagues. I think it's like the largest open league. So you can find it there right up the top. And if you're still setting up your leagues, you can also add celebrities. Feel free to add any of us into your leagues to help finish the head-to-heads. I reckon that might be about it from us. So we'll see you after round one.
Good luck, everyone.
Bye.
Fingers crossed.
See ya.
See ya.